Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. What would it take to make God really angry with us? How many sins would we have to commit for God to send us to hell? The Bible makes it very, very clear that God will punish the evildoer. The Word of God makes it very clear that God is patient and merciful and compassionate and will forgive. This morning, I would like to ask us all the question about what are we doing about our sins? To ask such a question, I think, would certainly encourage all of us to think personally about our own lives. In the book of Psalms, chapter 32, one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture that talk about our sins and God's forgiveness. Psalms 32, beginning at verse 1. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For the day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not reach him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. The psalmist expresses both the agony and the guilt and the shame of sin. But he also expresses the beauty of forgiveness. I make no bones about it this morning. I'm talking to us today about the beauty of the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ. There are those present today that need His blood. There are those present today that need to come to Him and to be forgiven of your sins. I want to appeal to you from God's Word to think very seriously about that. As we think about this great topic today, there's a wrong way to deal with your sins. And most of the time, most of us deal with sin the wrong way. When we consider that sometimes we blame others for what we've done wrong, we see that throughout the Scriptures. Remember Adam blaming Eve? Remember Eve blaming the devil? Aaron blamed the people when he himself had constructed this idol of gold, this golden calf, When Moses questioned him about that, Aaron said, the people made me do it. I just threw the goat into the fire and out came this calf. You remember Saul. When he was to destroy the Amalekites completely, he didn't do that. When Samuel called him on the carpet, so to speak, about that, you remember what Saul said? Well, the people wanted these things. And us. Did you know that when we sin against God, that many times we blame God? James said, let no one who is tempted in any shape, form, or fashion blame God. It's not God's fault that I'm tempted, and it's certainly not God's fault when I sin. In Romans 14, verses 10 through 12, we learn from God's Word that each of us are accountable to God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14 and notice verse 10. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, to stop and to think about this just for a moment, we have a varied range of age in this audience. We have old folks, like me and Phil. We have middle-aged folks. We have young folks. This text teaches something very simple. We are going to stand before God. And when are we going to do that? Well, one of a couple of things is true. It's appointed to each one of us to die. We don't know when that's going to happen. So after I die, after you die, when Jesus comes back, we'll stand before Him. But the Bible also teaches there is the possibility that we will not die. The Lord will come maybe while we're still alive. Maybe today. And when He comes, all that are in the graves are going to come forth. And we that are alive, we're going to stand before God. We're going to confess to God. We're going to answer to God for all of our sins. Some lie about their sin or deny that they ever did anything wrong. We see that numerous times. Cain, after he had killed Abel, am I my brother's keeper? Sarah, laughing. When the angel had come and told Abraham that they were going to have a son, she laughed. The angel confronted her. She denied it. The angel said, no, but you did laugh. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10, John makes it very, very clear that even as Christians, we sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So this morning, we need to make this very, very clear. All of us as human beings, regardless of age, at some point in age, reaching an age of accountability and knowledge of right and wrong, we all sin. Sometimes we try to justify our sins. And the way we try to justify that is that we look at others and we try to justify by saying, well, those people are worse than we are. They're doing worse than I'm doing. Sometimes we justify it by, well, everybody else is doing it. It'd be okay for me to do it. Therefore, it's not wrong. There's lots of ways that we can justify it. But one of the classic examples of that in 1 Samuel chapter 8 was how the people of Israel sinned against God for wanting to be like all the other nations. They wanted a king to be like them. And what they didn't realize is that they were rejecting God as their king. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, the law specifically said, do not follow a multitude to do evil. I think that's the point Jesus was making in Matthew 7. When he talked about the many and the few, the many are those who go in at the broad gate that leads to the broad way that leads to destruction. But there are few that go in by the narrow gate and the narrow path that leads to life. Now, if we're going to follow the crowd and we're going to justify ourselves based upon the many, then we're going to go in the broad way. Sometimes we just try to hide it. Sometimes we just try to keep it a secret. Nobody knows. Nobody will find out. That's what Achan tried to do. But he learned you could not hide from God. David and Bathsheba did the same thing. They committed the sin, but they tried to keep it hidden in secret. Psalms 139, 7 through 8 teaches us we cannot hide from God. Let's turn and read that passage. Psalms 139, beginning then at verse 7. Where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. One of the great examples of the fact that we can't hide from God is Jonah. God commanded Jonah to go teach the Ninevites. He didn't want to go. He tried to run away. God knew where he was all the time. Jonah wound up in the belly of the great fish or sea monster or critter. And he winds up at the roots of the mountains in the sea, as this creature of God had gone deep into the ocean. And it is there, as Jonah is wrapped around with seaweed, he pours his heart out to God. God hears him and sees him. I want to say this because it needs to be heard. It doesn't matter where we are or what we are doing. God sees it. For some reason or another, I think most of us as human beings, we forget about the presence of God in our lives. I know that we would not do certain things if the preacher was there. I know we wouldn't say certain things if one of the elders was there. But if the preacher's not there, one of the elders is not there, or some faithful member is not there, and we're just there all by our lonesome, it's as if that no one will ever know. But God always knows. So here's an important point for all of you young people. Your parents may not know. God knows. And when you sin, well, it may be the lie that you told. Nobody ever found out. It may have been that you were cheating on a test at school. Nobody knows. God knows. Adults, it may be that in the privacy of your own car, driving down the road, you're listening to things you shouldn't be listening to. Some song is singing something you ought not to be hearing. Nobody knows but God. In the privacy of your own home, in the darkness of your room, you look at things on the internet you've got no business looking at. Nobody knows but God. So in those cases, does that sin count? Is that still a sin when nobody knows? And here's the thing that we are deceived in. We hide our sins. And we think nobody knows. And we convince ourselves it doesn't count. God's eyes are everywhere. He sees all things. God even knows the secrets of your hearts. Sometimes the sin may be even the thought. Men, maybe we're looking a little bit too long at that young lady. God knows. Maybe we become angry and we have hatred in our heart. God knows that. The law said, be sure your sins will find you out. Now, I think all of us are quite aware that I'm sure there have been any number of people that have died and no one ever found out that they were guilty of this sin. But every person that has ever sinned, there's always one that knows. And that's God. Many believe that just enough time goes by, it'll take care of it. God doesn't forget unforgiven sin. Maybe it was a year ago. Maybe it was 2 years ago. Maybe it was 10 years ago that you committed this sin against God. God's just forgotten it. Not according to His Word, He is not. Every act will be revealed according to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. Now you think about that a moment. For all you teenagers out there, you are not immune to sinning. God knows what you do. Now think about this for a moment. No teenager wants to be pointed out. They don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to be called out. But we will all be called out. In that great judgment day, God will call us out personally. And the things that we've done wrong, that are unforgiven, He's going to tell everybody what you did. You think about that. You're sitting, oh, I don't want that ever. I don't want anybody to ever know. Then get forgiveness of it. And in God's eyes, it never happened. It won't be told. Have you ever thought about that? Grown adults do all sorts of things that they think they're going to get away with, and time just erases it. It does not. But there is a right way to take care of your sins. As children of God, we must make sure we're walking in the light. That 1 John chapter 1 passage is a great text, that God is light, in Him there's no darkness at all. Remember that passage? There's none of us that walk in the light constantly and never gets in the darkness. We all do that. But what we need to be able to do is to recognize the darkness. Recognize when we do wrong. And when we recognize that, we need to confess that. We don't need to blame other people. We don't need to try to hide it. The text says you need to confess it. Now, most of us are not very good at saying, I am wrong. And I certainly don't want you to know that I'm wrong. That's embarrassing. But what is more embarrassing? Confessing your fault, being forgiven, or in the day of judgment, God bringing forth what we have done wrong, and everybody that has ever lived on this planet will know what you did. Then to boot, you lose your soul. And maybe we don't go the step further. Lose your soul means what? You'll spend eternity in hell. Now, what would you rather do? You need to repent. You need to change. You need to, whatever you're doing wrong, you need to stop it. So even for young folks, if you've been doing things wrong, you need to stop it. Older folks, you need to stop it. To repent means to change your mind about that's wrong, I'm not going to do that anymore, and make up your mind, I'm going to stop doing that, but then do the right thing. And then you need to pray to God. As a child of God, you have the privilege. Remember in our Hebrews class, not everybody was in there, but Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He's sympathetic with us. He's compassionate with us. And what He wants us to do, He wants us to come clean with it. Just admit it. Just confess the fact that you messed up, you did wrong, you sinned again. And pray to Him. Pray to God that you be forgiven, and He will forgive you of every sin, of anything. This is the great and wonderful blessing of being a Christian. Do you get this? We're talking about the right way to cover our sins. As a child of God, we each have this great privilege, blessing, that whenever we do wrong, and we do wrong, we need to make it right. Stop hiding it. Stop denying it. Come clean with it. Whatever the sin. The Bible would teach us, if it's private, make it privately right. If it's public, make it publicly right. Just in case someone missed that point somewhere along the way, if you and God's the only one that knows it, then make it right with God, just as is mentioned here. But if you're at work and you get angry and you start cussing and you start acting ugly and you treat people wrongly, how are you going to make that right? To God first, yes. But you need to apologize to these people and tell them you're a Christian and you're sorry and you acted wrongly. Ask them to forgive you. Just to let it slide and think they'll forget it, and maybe they didn't hear it, or you could care less about what they think. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is who you are. And when we sin in a public way, we're letting people know that we don't care about Jesus anymore and we've brought Him to shame. When we read about Peter denying the Lord three times, was that a public sin? How did he make that right? Did he not stand up before all of those people and thousands more and confess and say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We've got to be humble. We become arrogant, prideful, because we can't say we're sorry and mean it. Not say I'm sorry because I got caught. Not making it right because, well, I'm being made to. You see, God knows our hearts as to the intent. But if you have not been baptized into Christ, and all of you here today who have not been baptized into Christ, I'm going to ask you one simple question. Do you ever pray to God and ask Him to forgive you? I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, and I want you to listen to what God says. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not too short, not so short that it cannot save. Neither is His ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you so that He does not hear. Maybe this is a point that we've just not stressed enough to our young people, to our middle-aged people, to us older people who have never been baptized into Jesus Christ. You know that you have probably lied or cheated, been angry, talked back to your parents, disobeyed your parents, dishonored your parents. You've done something that was wrong. You're old enough to realize right and wrong. You're old enough to realize that God commands you not to do that. And then you pillow your head at night and you ask God to forgive you. You need to understand something. In your condition, having never been baptized into Jesus Christ, you do not have access to the blood of Jesus. That sounds awful, doesn't it? Maybe we don't want our children to hear that. But that is the facts. When do you have the privilege of the blood of Jesus to forgive your sins? Those that have been baptized into Christ. And what we learn from the Scriptures of believing in Jesus and repenting of your sins and confessing Jesus the Son of God and being buried with Him in baptism is that we might be forgiven. What did God say through Isaiah here? Our sins and our iniquities have separated us from our God. I don't care if you're 16 or if you're 106. If you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ and you know right and wrong and you have sinned, that sin will not be forgiven by simply praying to God. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that you could be forgiven. We have a number of young people who need to hear this. Brother Mark, others, Steve, others have been talking and preaching and teaching Bible classes and trying to instruct our young people. And I'm not saying we've got bad young people. We've got great young people. But somewhere, there's a little bit of a disconnect. Maybe we think because we don't steal, we don't fornicate, we don't murder, that our sins are just not that bad. Please be advised that a lie will send you to hell just like murder will. Hatred in your heart will send you to hell just like stealing. You must look at your own heart. Have you sinned against God? Are you old enough to know right and wrong? Do you know what it means to obey Jesus? Now, this is heavy stuff. I grant it. It's heavy. It weighs a ton. But I'm going to give you one more thought. When Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," what do you call that statement? It's a command. If you're old enough to realize right and wrong, and you understand eternity, you understand, someone said a long time ago, he said maybe one of the best ways to help young folks to understand when they're ready is if you can understand the virgin birth, you can understand salvation. If you're old enough to understand the virgin birth, you're old enough to understand eternity. Here's the question. Is it a sin to not obey what Jesus told you to do? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The apostles, they preached on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Is that a command? Acts chapter 10. Cornelius' household. Peter commanded them to be baptized. You see, it's a command. Who is it a command to? People that are sinners. The question this morning, are you a sinner? I hope and I pray that we all think about this seriously. Because what you're doing about your sins will make an eternity of difference. You may not like what I said today. There may be some of you as parents that are sweating it because your children are listening. Your children need to hear this. If they're at an age of understanding right and wrong, they are at the age, the virgin birth. They're at the age of knowing about eternity. They're at an age of understanding what it means to be lost in hell forever. Parents, talk to your kids. Encourage them. Most of us as parents think our children are way too young and way too innocent. Maybe we are the ones deceived. Jesus calls. Jesus calls us all. I remember when I was young, many, many years ago, believe it or not, growing up in the Baptist church and also later in the church, I used to hear hellfire and brimstone all the time, and it used to scare me to death. I'd hear those preachers get up there and preach, and they would beat on the pulpit, and they would hoot and holler, and they would carry on, and it would cause me to sit there and just shake. I believe most of our folks today don't fear anything because they think they're going to go to heaven just because they're sitting in the building. And there's nothing any further from the truth than that. I'm begging you, I am pleading with you to consider your soul. What are you doing with your sins? Only Jesus Christ can forgive you. Jesus is calling. Are you answering to His command? Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Jesus is tenderly.